This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And this has really turned into like a dissecting the sewing machine.
Right.
Series. It's fine. I'm fine with
that. Yeah.
No apologies.
Well, I think basically it started out from, you know, there was a question about how would you start
skills.
To sew?
Yeah.
You know, how would you start? And I think it was garment specific sewing, but how would you, you know, teach, where would you begin and what would you do?
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about, I don't think there's one approach. But the one thing that you and I both like seem to focus on immediately was know your machine.
Yes.
You know, whether you sew, the first thing you sew is a pillowcase or, you know, the first thing I ever sewed on a machine was a skirt.
Yeah.
Which was not that much difference on a pillowcase. It's two pieces of fabric that were sewn together. It had a couple darts in it. And I did put a zipper in, you know. But so, I mean, it wasn't like a big, huge...
I mean, everything's a pillowcase in some ways.
Right, it is. everything gets sewn and turned inside out.
And
like we talked about the revelation that, you know, someone who really doesn't know how to sew at all or hasn't seen someone sew, and you do sew that little, you know, drawstring bag or pillowcase or whatever it is the first time, and the fact that you put the right sides together, sew the seams, and then turn it right side out, and they're all like, that's why the seams don't show.
So today we're going to talk about, we're just like moving along in the machine here. And I thought it would be good to talk about the throat plate.
Mm-hmm.
And you were kind of extending it to like the bed of the machine.
Right, basically the bed or like the surface you are using, you know.
Yeah, so like what's a throat plate, Mom? If somebody's like, what the hell are you talking about? What's a throat plate?
So the throat plate actually covers, doesn't really cover the feed dogs, right? I mean, it's the plate that
encases them.
It frames them.
It's where you lay your fabric,
right,
as you're sewing.
Although there are some throat plates that cover the feed dogs, too.
Well, there are, yes.
So,
Very true.
But it is that area where you access your bobbin, where your needle goes down and through, and your presser foot, you know.
Presser foot meets it.
Right,
meets,
sits on top
sits
of
on
it.
Sits on top of it. Mm-hmm.
So, and it's removable. And you have to remove it to clean.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big section of this podcast.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. Get the dust bunnies.
I was thinking
out.
About that as I was driving earlier today. I was like, oh, we're going to
talk about dust bunnies.
Different ways of removing it.
Talk about Mallory was insulted because I sent her a picture of our dust bunnies and thought, like, I was going to ruin her trying to ruin her vacation.
She's trying to ruin my vacation.
I thought I was sending it as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how.
You need to accompany it with the proper emoji.
I guess.
You need to
so
be like
that is
the
how,
crying, laughing
right,
emoji.
That is how. That is how, you know, things are misinterpreted on, you know, using, you know, your text.
Was it misinterpreted?
You know,
or was it miscommunicated? It
well,
needed a laughing, crying emoji.
It could be a little bit of both,
but
you're right. An emoji helps.
And emojis
because
help.
I know I will say things sarcastically sometimes, and I make sure I put the kissing emoji after it or a little heart emoji after it.
Like, yeah, you got to be careful who you send. Okay, so the kissing emoji, the one where it's like the smiley face is puckering and there's a heart.
Coming out of the mouth.
Would like to, I interpret that as like blowing a kiss or
yes,
just being like,
me
Mah.
Too. I do too.
But I was like, maybe I shouldn't send
like
that.
Like a peck.
Maybe.
Kiss.
No,
cheek,
no,
blow.
No contact. No contact.
Well, yeah, okay. No
okay,
contact.
So like,
yeah,
but I was like, what if somebody thinks I'm like kissing
make it
them?
Out with them?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like over text. So I was like,
one
I gotta
to
be careful with that emoji.
Well,
to be careful.
You know,
send that to you.
If they came back and said that, I'd say, really? How presumptuous.
It'd
be
like a co worker. So I'd be like, yeah, thanks so much for this.
Right.
You know, or maybe that's just inappropriate.
Right.
No matter what. Anyway.
Right.
I know, Ayala listens. And that was one person who was like, I think I'd send that emoji. And I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Now we're talking about, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so the throat plate, let's talk about, okay, these can look really different on different machines. And they can come off different. Yes. When I say come off, they can be removed differently. They can have a different amount of components.
Right.
They can be made of all plastic.
They can be in more than one section, yeah, so, is what so you
there,
mean. Yeah.
There can be like two parts to your throat plate or just one.
Right.
They can... They,
you can sometimes there's a pressure spring that, you know, holds them on, or sometimes they are screwed down.
Sometimes the whole thing is metal. So one of the big things that's going to define your throat plate experience is whether or not you have a drop in,
top loading bobbin,
or a front loading bobbin. Right. Because a top loading bobbin, you are going to be able to see your bobbin. Okay, is there a top loading bobbin machine out there where the cover for
where
the bobbin
not
isn't
a window?
Clear? I think there.
You know, if there is, boy, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's pretty.
It's been a long time. If that's true.
Oh no, there are. I can.
I think.
Okay.
Top loading.
Am I hallucinating this? That
yeah,
I've
you
seen
are,
like
I'm
a
sure.
metal, like slidey thing. Am I making that up? I can
yeah,
be
you're
making
that
up.
It up.
I can be making that up.
You are, and you're making
it up. All
right,
I'm making it up.
I mean, at this point, you know, the top-loading bobbin, usually you can visualize the bobbin.
Yeah.
There's a little plastic, you know, sliding door that goes over it usually.
Man,
I'd love somebody to know. Maybe somebody will write in, please, or take it, you know, take a screenshot and let us see.
Well,
what,
you can just take a picture of that.
Yeah, take a shot of
take
it.
A screenshot.
Take a pic of it and send us, you know, that picture, because I can't really think of I never had a top loading machine myself.
Right. Until
we got into embroidery.
Right.
Because I always liked the other hook system better.
I was about to say until recently. And when I say recently in mom's
like
sewing
in the last
life,
25
the last 20 years.
Out of the last 60 years of my sewing life.
The most recent third, right? Yeah, okay, so that is the most recent, exactly. So if you have a top-loading bobbin, you're going to have a place where you can see the bobbin, or you're going to be able to slide that out or something.
Right.
On the baby locks and on a lot of the basic
machines.
And the
other thing about the top loading is your bobbin case does not come out with your bobbin.
That's right.
When you know, it is something that takes a little bit more finagling to remove. But you do have a bobbin case.
So
when someone says to you, oh, in the top loading you don't have a bobbin case, that's a misnomer. There is a bobbin case in there.
You just don't take it out when you replace the bobbin.
It's
each
just
time.
A different kind of. Right. It's,
although
it,
I think maybe I
place.
Came across someone who was like doing that one time. I'm sure that maybe I was hallucinating that too, but.
Was saying that it comes
They
came
took
out.
It all out to
and
replace
the bobbin.
And that
might
bobbin.
Be true in some of those like old Zingers that you could, you know.
So on this baby lock.
Wind your bobbin while it was in place kind
right,
of thing.
Right. On this baby lock, this is, you know, used to be top of the line, but. On this Destiny, it really looks like a lot of even the more basic baby
it
locks
does.
Out there.
It does.
It'll look like a lot of it, – it's a similar similar structure. So since we have the top-loading bobbin, we have a plastic removable plate part. It kind of looks like an L.
And that does remove, and you can take the bobbin case out. When you take the plastic part off.
That's right. So it gives you access. Gives you access to quite a bit.
And that just pops up by tension.
That's right. So you just, you know, there's a little kind of indentation where you can push it forward and pop that off. And then there's a metal part to it, and it's got screws. There, you take them off with a flathead screwdriver. And a lot of sewing machines will come with a tool that looks like... Like a little coin.
Looks like a coin. Sometimes it just looks
or
like
an
a coin.
O, or like an O.
Or sometimes it looks like a Q is what
I
call it. Because it looks like an O with a little stem on it that is actually the, you know, the head of the screwdriver.
Of the screwdriver.
Or sometimes you can use what we call a stubby, which is a little screwdriver. Or you can use a right angle screwdriver.
Or some people and some machines, if the screws are right, you can use the back of your presser foot.
Yes, and you can use a coin.
And a coin. an actual coin. Right. But we would, we had a few extra of those coin screwdrivers. And I've like, got one in my jewelry box, got
That's
one
right.
in my drawer in my kitchen. You know, they do come in handy for things like that. So the metal, what mom just said is a really good point. And actually, it's a technical point. If you take your, even if you take your whole throat plate apart and everything, one way to make sure that you're putting your machine back together properly, if you have a top-loading bobbin system, is to put that metal plate back on first.
First, yes.
Before you reinsert the bobbin case.
That's right.
It's harder to put it in wrong. I don't want to say you can't put it in wrong because right. people are amazing.
Well,
and they can do anything.
And you know, the bobbin case, you used to have to just, you know, sit it in there properly and know how to do it. And now they usually have a little hash mark in there that you can mash, you know, you match up.
There are, I think, lots of markings.
Right.
I think that it's not.
You didn't used to have the markings,
yeah.
is what I'm saying.
Well,
and now they tend to do that because you can get it in there and you mm-hmm. think you've got it in, but you don't.
But you don't.
You need to hear a click. You need to see, be able to see it move when you, you know, move your hand wheel and all this
you
stuff.
You need to also, it's like, have someone show you this or watch a video or whatever and really feel and know what it's like for it to be seated right, because it is a little bit of a complex piece of
right. And if you run the machine, now this machine won't run if it's seated wrong.
If it's seated really wrong, yeah.
Right. It says to you,
beep boop.
Yeah, unengaged or something or whatever.
Hold on, what's it say? Shoot.
I can't remember.
It's like, it's not, it doesn't say exception, but it's like mechanical failure
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it's
like,
something you stupid like, person. Yeah, you have this syndrome. Instead of saying, you fool, you needed to study your owner's manual and take your guide classes.
It
says something like, you know, failure.
It has an emoji, the Destiny ill cry. It shows the
right,
crying
it has,
emoji.
It's like a sad face with
not
a
tear.
Not the
crying laughing emoji.
No.
Okay.
It's a sad face with a tear.
It's like, we're so sad you don't know how to use your machine.
Well, I thought it meant the machine was sad because you didn't know how to use it.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
All right.
So I just want to say that's a really good point about that, and we've talked about that on another podcast.
But what I didn't finish saying is because we got off on
sure,
this has
sure.
a fail-safe.
Sorry.
There are machines that don't have that little fail-safe sad face, right? And you can start to sew, and you can really screw up your bobbin case. Okay, so you don't want to do that. You really want it in there right.
You want to seat it in there right. Now, why the heck would you take your throat plate off? Why are you even doing this?
Well...
Do you do this every time you
sometimes
sew?
You take it off.
To send a passive-aggressive picture to your daughter.
Yes, you're like, wah. No. Sometimes you take it off because it's a plan. Because you plan to clean it.
Best case scenario.
That would be the most positive instance that you would remove that plate.
You'd set aside
you're like,
time to do that.
I finished this big project. I'm going to clean my machine like Ziti suggests. Okay.
The machine should smile at you if you're doing that. It should
right.
be like, good job.
Right. Or maybe it should flash like my face going, clean this baby, clean this baby. Anyway, so other reasons may be you were sewing, right, and your thread knotted up. Because maybe you weren't threaded correctly.
Hey, I did that the other day. I wanted to share this on another episode, but
apparently she's sharing it now.
I'm sharing it now because it's come up. It's a little more topical on this episode.
Well, I'm glad we had a moment for you.
Yeah, I was doing something that I thought would be really simple. A CrossFit coach found out I sewed.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, so I have a few of those I Am a Sewing Machine t-shirts
right.
from when we were like testing them out and stuff. So I wear some of the older ones to the gym. And that's stupid. So anyway, my own fault. So he.
It's like advertising for what you don't want to.
He said, oh, you can sew. Oh, yeah, I can sew. And he said he had an apron that he bought from Duluth Trading Company, and it's called the Fire Hose Apron. So apparently this whole apron's made out of like an old fire hose.
Oh, hyper.
You know,
that's pretty tough fabric.
Pretty
yeah.
So he's an electrician, and he's the guy who we went and slaughtered chickens at his farm.
Oh, okay.
So he needs this type of apron, like, absolutely.
Well, if he let you slaughter chickens,
you know,
you could sew for
and then you, yeah. And then, you know, you do your electrician work. So he had one loop that he wanted to make into two loops.
Uh-huh.
There's like a loop.
So all
he
wanted
loop,
was a stitch
right?
down yeah, it.
Get this. There's like a gigantic freaking wire on the sides of this loop. It is. I was like, maybe I should take a video of this. And then I couldn't because I was, it turned into lots of drama while I was doing this. And so I was like, oh man, well, I think I can mash this down and I can get the foot on there and I can start sewing and all that. And it was rough. And the way it was bound with some type of something that had like a plastic flange on it. Now, at first, I'm like, it's fine. The Destiny can go through like hot glue and feathers. You know, it's fine. I can do this. And I rethreaded the machine, you know, I thought in an appropriate manner, and it bound up on me twice.
So was it that the thread could not go through?
Yeah, I was convinced it wasn't my fault.
So sometimes what happens is that if the fabric is makes the can make the thread drag. Okay.
So
it doesn't allow the
loop.
You can
drag on it. Or I was like, is my foot not actually getting down?
Right. Or is your needle bending as it goes through because it's too tough for the needle?
But guess what? It was none of those things. I started over. I unthreaded the entire machine. I rethreaded it and I did it. And then it sewed fine. So something, and you know, I thought I had done everything right, everybody. And this machine, like Mom said, has fail safes beyond that throat plate thing. It has fail safes for threading. It'll say,
I mean, it will say
you are not threaded properly.
Check your upper thread.
Check your upper thread. It's got sensors.
Right, whatever.
So I somehow fooled all of those. And you know, it was giving me a bird's nest, lots of long stitches on the bottom.
Right.
So it was my upper tension that was unregulated. So I'm just not, I was maybe in a little bit of a hurry or something. And I had to cut it out of there twice. Now, I didn't have
you mean cut it out of your bobbin area.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I didn't have to take the throat plate off, actually.
Right.
I probably should have.
I was going to say, I think you probably should
probably
have.
Probably should
go
have.
Ahead.
But to clean out like any thread debris that could be in there.
Right.
But yeah, then I sewed and it was fine after. Well, I mean, it was still kind of dramatic.
Well,
but
and speaking of bending needles or whatever, if you break a needle, you really should go in there and check and make sure there isn't a little shard of metal or something, you know, in the bobbin area, in the case, or in the area, because it can scar your case.
Amen. Yeah, if you've got...
And it will sew sometimes, but it starts to scar the case.
And then we're going to take a break here real quick and come back and talk about more stuff about the throat plate. But that is the important part of cleaning, right? So a piece of metal that gets caught somewhere and then whatever, the hook is rotating or oscillating.
And it might, metal might not even bother for a while and then get caught eventually.
It doesn't even have to be metal.
No, it can be anything.
It can start to be a buildup of just dust and crap and, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so that's why you got to clean it, because that stuff just hangs around. Okay, let's take a quick break and let's come back and talk about the markings on the throat plate. Hey, ZD, wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
And we're back. Let's talk about markings on the throat plate. Hey, okay, on our old Bernina that I learned to sew on, let me start over. On our old Bernina that I learned to sew on when I was 5, there was a red line, and you told me this red line is 5/8 of an inch seam allowance, right. You know, and the machine was a center-oriented
right. So if you stitch. Put, you know, if the edge of your fabric goes along the red line, then your needle is sewing a 5/8 inch seam allowance.
I totally thought the machine came that way. It did not. I learned, like, I don't know, a year ago, not too long ago, I learned that you had painted that.
Yes.
With. And, okay, the markings. Let's talk about markings. Markings on throat plates can go from being too simple.
Right.
To, I was just saying during the break, to mom, too complex, actually.
I think that
both things can happen.
On this particular machine that Mallory's staring at right now, it has markings that relate to a center needle position, and it has markings that relate to a left needle position.
Yes.
So,
well, wait, hold on. Hold on. I want to clarify something, because so on that really old Bernina, those are just lines and there's no numbers on
right.
the lines. Okay.
Right.
So then in Destiny Land, we got ourselves a little grid here. We have a little ruler up top that is inches and centimeters. So we have that grid there too that is square. Those must be square half centimeters, okay, is what that is. And then what mom just said is there's two sets of markings. And the one set, you'll see like quarter inch, and it's a quarter inch from the left needle position. And then there's another line that's quarter inch, and it's a quarter inch from the right needle position, and so on and so forth. And sometimes my brain gets all of them confused. I'm not going to lie.
And okay, okay.
I get that.
Well, especially if you're sewing on also multiple machines, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, I just got used to this, and now this one is different. You also might have lines that will show you where you are at 5/8, where you're, so it's towards the back of the needle, a line going across that lets you know you have sewn in 5/8 inch. Of an inch or a quarter of an inch, so you would know where to like pivot.
Yep.
And it could be in back, one in back of the needle and one in the front of the needle, so that you are aware of that. Now, here's how you really, if you're getting all freaked out, you know, you take your seam gauge or your ruler and you stick it, you know, right under your foot, and you put, you know, the zero mark at your needle. And you measure over to the line where you want it, and you know that that's that, right? I mean, that will secure it for you.
If you start to get confused, get out the ruler.
I tend to do that a lot, like on the serger sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, I've got both needles in. What am I doing if I, you know, how far over am I? Because on the serger, if I make a mistake, I've just cut off my seam allowance.
Yeah.
No. So it could be a bigger mistake than just sewing the wrong seam allowance and having to take it out. But so that's how you would know, other than looking it up in your owner's manual.
Right.
And then, you know what? Sometimes the owner's manual can be a little confusing. So you might need to clarify it by measuring it yourself.
Yeah. I also just want to say that this machine has multiple bobbin covers. So we're talking about the clear bobbin cover.
Right.
This one that's on it right now has all those markings all over it.
Right.
And you can have one that doesn't have any if
that's
you
right.
don't like them or whatever. But you'll, when you were talking about multiple machines.
Right.
That's definitely a case where that can start to get confusing. But then when I'm in a groove and I'm like, okay, this is what I've been using this whole time.
Yeah.
And I haven't been moving my needle, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would always kind of double check myself when teaching a customer, because that those markings, I'm like, wait
right.
a minute.
I always wanted to be able to explain.
The solid lines
right.
are this, and the dotted
and
dash lines are this.
And that happens on the serger, too, because there's hash lines there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And there's a left and a right
oh,
mark
man.
And all
oh,
of this.
Mom, do you
and
remember?
It really confuses people.
There was one person in particular.
Oh boy, what? Maybe I don't remember.
It's okay. It was just so hard to talk about seam allowances on the serger with
right.
this person.
Okay.
I'm just processing again.
Yeah.
I'm just reliving. And like, we've talked about this on the podcast,
right.
I know, but this could probably be a whole episode, like explaining this. So there's seam allowance on the serger. But, like, you cut some of it off.
Right. You're only left with, like, 3/8
so
inch
like,
of a seam,
you
probably.
You have a 5,
right.
let's pretend, you have
right.
a 5/8 inch seam allowance. What you need is for your needle to land 5/8 of an inch away from the raw edge of your fabric.
Right.
But,
and then as you
but
cut it off.
But then what happens, you know.
Right. Then as you cut it off, you may only have a quarter inch or 3/8
left.
Left. You know.
But that's not your seam allowance. That's what's left.
That's the seam allowance that's left.
Left. Yeah, exactly. Oh.
So your seam allowance went
from
5/8 when you started.
Uh-huh.
And when you finished, you were at a quarter
inch.
Whatever,
3/8, yeah.
Or, you know, the other thing you have to make sure you understand, people understand when they're sewing on the serger, is some patterns, you're cutting a 5/8 inch seam allowance and you're cutting something off. There are other patterns where you're really just skimming the seam.
Yeah, like that.
You know,
right.
It only has a quarter
inch. So then that's like the opposite situation where you're like not cutting anything
right.
off.
You want to keep your 1/4 inch
exactly.
or 3/8 inch seam allowance.
That was rough. Sam's going to listen to this. She's going to know exactly
what
I'm talking about.
Yeah, we just had lunch with Sam.
We did. It was beautiful.
Oh my gosh. It was like a spiritual experience. It was wonderful.
It was great to see Sam after so long. So your throat plate... I also want to talk about putting this back together. We're talking about putting the bobbin case back together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But putting it all back together properly is also important because you don't want things catching
right.
on your screws.
Right.
Or like, oh, I didn't get this. You know what some people could do a lot? And I didn't do this a ton. Did it every once in a while. But with the clear bobbin cover on a top-loading bobbin, it's like you're supposed to click this little tab in and then – click
right.
it down, and they'd miss that tab.
Yes.
And the first tab, and you can still click it down, but, right. you know, and then it doesn't pop up as easy. It's great. So that can happen. So make sure you're putting it back together properly that way. Also, you were talking about how there can be different throat plate options.
Right.
Right? So this throat plate we have here is one that allows the needle to swing the full...
Seven millimeters.
Thank right. you. 7 millimeters. You can have a throat plate that just has a straight stitch.
Which is one little hole.
One little hole.
And people also use that to embroider with.
Well, not on this machine because I think it's not in the center.
It won't let you. Yeah.
It's not,
okay.
you know, okay. Excuse me. It is in the center and it embroiders over to the left.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Sorry.
So it may also have, though, an embroidery plate.
That can happen too.
You have to make sure. Right.
So sometimes,
and sometimes that single hole where you can only be in one position like that, sometimes that's called the quilting throat plate too.
Yeah, straight stitch plate, quilting plate. So you can use it for free motion, which is nice. It gives you lots of support.
So all you can do on it is a straight stitch.
Yeah, needle cannot move.
You can't move side to side at all.
The other thing is, though, about that, is it will have different markings, right? It's not going to have two sets of markings because the needle can only be in one place.
And sometimes it'll even look a little different. Sometimes it has a big warning sign on it.
Yeah.
A little orange sign that
right.
says, you have your straight stitch plate on so that, you know, you won't start
breaking
the
needle.
Needles. Now, on this particular machine.
Yeah, on the Destiny and on
it. It senses what's on there. So if you, it won't even let you change to a zigzag.
Yeah, it'll give you
sad face. Like,
you
can try and it'll say, you're wrong, you're wrong again. I'm right, and you are wrong again.
Stop trying to make me zigzag on this straight stitch plate. So we get this, we can have a straight stitch plate option, which is great for some things.
Right.
And then on some machines, you can have, like on the Destiny and on, I think maybe even pretty basic machines, it's like, I think you had to get down into like the $199 range or the $299 range.
She's talking about price.
With price, where you couldn't drop your feed dogs.
Right.
But they gave you a cover.
Right.
That would cover up your feed dogs.
Usually it was just like a little plastic insert
mm-hmm.
that sort of, you know, would click onto the feed dog space.
Click onto the throat plate.
Right.
There were two little holes.
Right.
And that would allow someone to do free motion
right.
or darning or something like that. So that could be part of the throat plate. Now,
right.
on the Destiny and on machines, like I said, I think that feed dog drop and stuff really started pretty early in the line.
Yeah.
You can drop them.
You know, I'd be surprised if not, they all don't anymore.
Yeah, it started to become more common.
I'm talking about, you know, more recent models.
Yeah, it started to become more and more common. So with the Destiny and with other models, you can press a button or flip a switch or something and drop those feed dogs down
right.
and do free motion. And then those little bars where the feed dogs would come up, they're still open.
Right.
But
It's just the feed dogs aren't moving. You know,
big thing here.
Oh, I know what you're going to
say. Big thing here.
I know exactly
here.
What you're going
to
say.
Listen to this one, okay? Mm-hmm. People would get frantic. They would be on the phone.
Oh, my gosh.
They would come in with their machine, their entire machine.
No, maybe
not even
you should
called.
Save this and we should have an episode about things people would come in and get frantic about.
Well, we can do that again. We'll do the frantic
okay,
things.
Okay, great. I'm going to write it down. This is a good one.
Okay, this is a frantic one. But they would come in. I dropped my feed dogs and they won't go up. The button doesn't work. This, blah, 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 blah. That, you know, and we'd say, okay, what you have to do is you have to have a stitch cycle in order for them to pop up. So that's all you need. So if when you hit the button for them to come up, they don't just pop up.
Not all the time. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
They, you know, the way the mechanism works is it is disengaged. You know, or maybe it's engaged, whichever way
whatever,
you want to look at
yeah.
it, so that, you know, it goes down and it doesn't feel the need to come up anymore. And then when you switch back to wanting them up, it needs to, that stitch cycle needs to be in there so that that feed dog mechanism can click in
re-engage,
place and come up.
Yeah. You
okay?
know, same for your serger blade, right?
Yeah,
that would
same
be
for
same
your surgery
thing
blade.
On,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
on a lot of, not all of them, but some of them.
Some of them.
So, you know, well, and that's on a lot of features, too, that it's true that you
yeah,
need a stitch
you
cycle.
You need a stitch cycle.
But, oh, my
yeah.
God, they'd be crying like, oh, I ruined it. What did I do? Or this machine's no good. I'm bringing it back, you know, whatever. And we'd go, well, you just need to do a stitch. Oh, you know. But, you know, it would always be funny how people would react.
Right.
Either they
right.
would be embarrassed or they would go, I can't believe I, you know, or whatever.
Why didn't yeah. I call you?
or my husband thinks he's such a mechanic. He was in there working on that all night trying yeah. to make that come up. And I come in here and you know what's going
lots
on.
Of, yeah, you'd either get like, now I'm thinking about the categories. So like someone who's panicked, someone
right.
who's rude, someone who's this, someone
right.
who's that.
Someone who's always right.
Someone, yep.
And they can't believe you might know just this one
something
thing they don't.
About the machine.
Yeah,
exactly.
Whatever.
So your throat plate's important too. Let's bring this up. Oh, hi. I'm excited. And you haven't brought this up yet. You're going to be so proud of me. Your throat plate is a special place where your fabrics need to flow smoothly.
Yes.
You want them to move unimpeded through the sewing machine so that stitches are made and it's fabulous. So don't use big, huge scissors around your throat plate, presser foot
around
area.
Around your machine in general.
Around your
Never.
Machine. Because we have seen some gouged out throat plates. And if you get some
we've
kind of big...
We've seen gouged out throat plates. We've seen gouged out lights. We've seen...
Well, I was trying to keep
yeah,
it the throat
just,
plate.
But
right
I
now.
Mean, you know, the big scissors are not a good idea.
This bed of the machine, especially these plastic
needs
things...
Needs to stay smooth.
Yeah. And if you gouge that out with a pair of scissors,
yeah.
you got to replace... It's replaceable... Probably in a lot of cases, but it's going cases, huh? Because it's the case. but it's going to be a pain.
Right.
So you really, that's one reason we don't want you to use those big, big scissors, big, heavy scissors, because.
And honestly, you can hurt yourself with them.
You can do all, just get a little pair of scissors, okay?
Right.
Okay. Keep them close to your machine. And that, yeah, I've seen people have rough spots on their throat plates and it snags your fabric. You know, you don't want any
right.
of your fabric getting snagged.
Or
I don't
even
care.
If it doesn't snag it can impede it
yeah.
from being, you know.
Get caught,
right.
you know. So you don't want your silk. I'm not even
right.
talking about, you know, it's like, oh, you work on your silk satin and snag it. You don't want to be snagging your quilting cotton. You don't want to be snagging
snag
your
anything.
Denim. You don't want to be snagging
right.
anything.
You
yeah.
want a smooth surface.
You want to preserve that.
Mm-hmm.
They even started, I remember this being released at one of the latest Baby Lock Techs we were at. That they, when you put the embroidery module on,
mm-hmm.
they started to sell or provide or whatever a mat.
Right. The Teflon mat.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it was actually even Teflon.
Or whatever it was.
Yeah. It was just, yeah. it was very thin plastic.
Sick.
And it was because your embroidery hoop.
Needs to a nice smooth surface.
But your your embroidery hoop. Hold on, what would happen is your embroidery hoop would rub and degrade the surface
too.
Of the embroidery unit and that part of your throat plate. So it was protecting that area from the hoop because there are people
from the
who
wear.
Embroider yes, and embroider.
Like 12, 18 hours a day yeah. nonstop.
No, there are people who yes. are just going after it. And so, and that's yeah. wonderful. And this is such an easy fix, like right. putting this mat right. down, right? So anyway, they started to promote that quite a bit. And right. if you have a machine and that's available to you, I'd absolutely do it. Especially if you're, I'm going to embroider a bunch of stuff for the holidays or something like that. That's a way to keep your throat plate smooth. And you also need to keep it clean.
Yes.
Because you can get sticky. Actually, I'm feeling some
sticky
like
stuff.
Something
so,
on there
you
right
know,
now.
You keep a little Windex or a little alcohol by you. Never squirt your machine. Never flood your
yeah,
machine.
Always,
with
always
anything.
Squirt the cleaner on the rag.
Do it
or
on
the
cloth, the
whatever.
Soft cloth. And, you know, your soft quilting cotton scraps are good cloth to do that with. Things
I
like
have
that.
Turned into the dad from the Big Fat Greek Wedding. I'm like, I'm going to clean everything in my house with Windex, almost.
I clean my floor with Windex
yeah.
sometimes. Why not?
I started.
It's ammonia and water.
My kitchen, like,
you know.
My kitchen counter.
Right.
Nothing cuts through. My children and the way they eat and everything.
Right.
Nothing cuts through that. I'm like, I just right. might as well use the Windex, you know.
So, like we said, never. Okay, and never put anything on your machine, like a talcum powder or a baby powder or anything. It'll go right down in that mechanism. It turns into glue when it gets wet. All I can think of, there's a thing called talc lung. No,
yeah.
it is. No, it kills
right.
people.
Yes, it like, does.
Like,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And, you know,
where are you thinking about your machine
when
getting talc lung?
We had people on
yeah.
ventilators,
yeah.
which was supposed to be a closed system, but wasn't always a closed system because, of course, you had to open it to suction people
yeah.
and things like that for various reasons. We did not allow any type of powder in the room.
Yeah, no particles.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if it went, you know, down that you know, tube or trach or whatever and went into the lungs, it turned into glue.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, so that'll happen. Yeah,
your machine
has oil
will
in it.
Too. Your machine will have talc lung.
Yeah, so the other thing is don't put super glue. Don't.
No.
No. Just no.
Right.
No.
And if you are using something gummy on your machine on purpose, like people use glue stick, you know,
yeah.
or any, I mean, we use glue when we sew.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
do.
It does.
We keep alcohol prep wipes, like,
yep.
you know, like what they swab off your arm when they give you an injection.
We also swab arms. In the studio
yes,
and give injections.
We do. We
yes.
give injections in the studio.
We give injections in the studio. This is where I come.
These are medically
so
approved
do
injections.
Do you mind if I talk? Well,
this is not a street drug.
No, we've talked about your injection before, right. so I can talk about it. So ZD gets B12 every month.
If we remember.
So she's like,
sometimes I get two in 1 month because
she's like,
forgot.
I'm coming to the studio. I'm like, great, the alcohol beds are up here. But we talked about it because I made you that bag for your B12 stuff. And then I get a birth control shot and I just come up here for some prep pads. I just like, can't find
so they're good for yeah. lots of stuff.
They're good for lots of things. You have prep pads if you got to soak your box. Last time
I cleaned my phone with prep pads.
Yep.
Okay.
We love them.
You know,
we love them.
So they're nice to have.
You're saying keep those close.
But
sorry.
You can use that, or you can have a bottle of isopropyl alcohol and use that, whatever, and you know, put it on a pad or whatever. So the prep pads you find like at your pharmacy.
Yeah,
that's all you have to ask for is alcohol prep.
We ordered them online.
One time they ordered like 5 million online.
Yes,
we went through them pretty fast.
We did.
Thinking we had so many, I guess. So I have two other things to say before
awesome.
We wind up that mm-hmm. we haven't mentioned. This is the non-top-loading bobbin.
So this is the front-loading bobbin, yeah.
Right, and you say front, and what I want to
say
is...
Well, that's true.
Is,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
right,
you're right.
Right,
you're
no, right. This is okay because mm-hmm. it's the same type mm-hmm. of bottom, mm-hmm. but on an industrial machine, commercial machine, whatever you want to call it, or the quasi-commercial machines that they have now. So now they have home machines. Baby Lox is called the Accomplish. That... mimic, you know, a commercial type
machine. Semi-commercial.
Right.
Yeah.
Quasi-commercial is what I'm going to call it. And they don't load from the front. They
load
from
the
side. But it is underneath. And actually, your needle faces in a different
that's
direction
right.
because of
yep,
that. Okay.
Yep, yep.
But it's treated very similar to, you know, what we are calling the front loader.
Yes.
It's
yes.
really a bottom loader, I guess, if you want to.
Bottom bobbin.
Yeah, I don't know. The other thing I wanted to mention, And I think this is really important, is you've got these little screws and things and plates and all these things that, you know, hold your machine together, and you're going to take it apart. I have a magnetic dish there, or you know, the magnetic pin cushion, so I can put those little screws on there, because I don't want to go looking for them, or I don't want to wind up without them and have to order them.
Man, and you know, losing a screw in your machine.
And you don't want to lose the screw. It's nice to have a magnet to, like, fish things out to. But, so I put that plate, I put the screws. And then, you know, I do have, like, little plastic pieces, too. And I can put them there, you know. But I make sure I have this area where I'm putting them. I know where it's going to be put. I know where I'm not going to lose them. That's the worst thing in the world, is you go back and they're not there.
Absolutely. Actually, a tip that we got one time, I think in a class, a training, with this throat plate I'm looking at, it's these two kind of really short screws.
Right.
Is not even to take them out. It's just to, like, loosen them enough to where you can lift the plate and leave them in the plate and put them in your magnetic dish or whatever.
I'd be afraid I'd... Well, I,
actually,
knows?
It really it
Do
works for me.
Okay,
yeah, yeah. No, I would recommend trying it next time.
I would wonder
time.
If they stay in
so
everyone,
it's like,
though.
If you take the... No, it might not work for everyone. But if you take the plastic part, plastic little L off of this throat plate, and then you just loosen these short screws and take them out.
And you can leave them in the plate. And then you can leave still them... Still engaged in the plate.
And then you can like put it back on the machine. They're still in. And actually, it helped a ton of our customers who had the dexterity issues.
Yeah.
Like trying to pick up a little
these
screw.
These are really hard to They're put stubby. In because, yeah. you know, the actual shank of the screw is what? 2-3 centimeters? Maybe,
yeah, it's
at
very,
the most.
It's they're very,
centimeters.
Short.
I'm sorry, millimeters.
Yeah,
excuse
right,
me.
Right.
Excuse me. Centimeter would be a really long one.
That'd be,
that would
be
a long,
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 screw.
Long one. We could put that in the wall. But,
no, you're right. It's like half a centimeter.
Right.
Or something.
But make sure you know where those things are. Have a little place laid out where you're putting your tools, where you're putting everything. It just saves so much time. I hate that waste of time or waste of energy and money.
Okay, and I thought you said maybe you had two things. To,
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
I talked about...
You talked about how it's not just front-loading,
right.
It's side-loading.
So,
I see.
If
yeah.
you're afraid yeah. to take this... And in taking the machine apart and making sure you keep all the pieces, right, whatever, the other thing is you can take a video of yourself taking it apart.
Do it.
Right?
You
if
can
you take a video of yourself taking it apart, then you just run it backwards.
I bet that you
but
are...
But you'll know what you did.
I bet if you're listening to this podcast, you have the ability to take some kind of video on a phone or
right.
something like that. Do it, do it,
I
do
mean,
it.
Everything is so magical with the phone and
right.
sewing.
Right.
I had no idea that it would be so wonderful.
Hey, just so you know, when texting first became a thing, ZD held out. She was like, we're not doing texting.
My problem with texting was I had two and a half teenagers or whatever I had at the time. And I saw their friends just buried in these phones, right? And it drove me crazy. I would try and talk. I'd say, yeah, you need to come over here. We're doing a fitting. They'd be on this phone.
And now ZD.
But then I realized how efficient it was. And I
Now
went ZD's with it.
Buried in her phone
now
texting
I get mad
us
if somebody
all
calls
the time.
Me.
Yeah, now we don't. Yeah. ZD's a millennial. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a
she doesn't want to talk on the phone.
I'm an aged millennial.
She just wants a text.
That's
you
right.
know, so anyway. All right. Well, we hope that was a little fun about throat plates, the bed of your machine. You know, we didn't talk about extension tables, but I bet we can like work that into next time's episode.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get there. Okay. Thank you all so much for listening. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.